Well, Merry seventh day of Christmas to you all. It's beginning to look a little bit like Christmas outside. My daughter gave me a mug this Christmas, and on it is written these words, "Be careful or you will end up in my sermon." And since she opened the door for that, there is that story of when she was not quite 3 years old, and she wanted a doll for Christmas. She really, really wanted a doll for Christmas. And of course, when she went to the store and she saw one, she thought she had to have that doll then and there. Now, you remember what two-year-olds are like when they're not quite three. And she was a stubborn little three-year-old. Once she spotted the doll, she had to have it. That was all there was to it. And when I tried to pull her away, she resisted. All she could say is, "I want a dolly for my Christmas." Then I'm pulling her away, and she stubbornly refuses. So I did one of those really bad parenting moments when you walk away from your screaming child thinking that they're going to follow you, only they don't. And all the while she's screaming, "I want a dolly for my Christmas. I want a dolly for my Christmas. I want a dolly for my Christmas." And then I look, and there are people gathered around this poor little abandoned child that is just wanting a dolly for her Christmas. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm wishing I could kind of fade into the woodwork, but there is no woodwork in Target to fade into. And as we left the store, she was still sobbing, "I want a dolly for my Christmas. I want a dolly for my Christmas." We all have yearnings, each of us, all of us. I hope that this Christmas has brought some of what you wanted this year, some of what you yearn for, and has brought you moments of joy. Whenever I read the prologue to the Gospel of John, as it was read this morning, my heart is stirred, my soul is stirred. There's something very powerful in those words as they are put together in a very beautiful piece of literature in it. My favorite Bible is the NRSV version, and in that Bible it goes like this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." It's a proclamation that before the world began, Christ was present as the Logos. That life-giving breath of God was present, hovering over creation at the very beginning. And Jesus, John tells us, there is this divine connection with a cosmic God breathing life into being. I first heard these words as a small child, growing up in my little church in Cleveland, Minnesota, where the tradition was that every year we would, the smaller children would have a verse to memorize to recite at the Christmas program. Maybe some of you had Christmas programs like that as well. And every year, at least one of the children would have this line, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Our hearts yearn for a better world. We yearn for a healthier, gentler, kinder world, especially in this time when there are wars that have and so much turmoil and divisions and fears in our nation and around the world. We yearn for a world where both nations and neighbors care about each other and express that care in concrete deeds. As God entered the world in Jesus, it was a decisive event in world history. The fact of his birth forever changed our relationship with God and God's with us. God's decision was to live with us, to be among us, be with us in the midst of our human weakness, our days of confusion and the turbulence of this world, to be with us in our fear. When I was a little girl, there was a closet right next to my side of the bed. It was only covered by a curtain, and so in this drafty house we lived in, it was not unusual to see that curtain moving a little bit as I went to bed. I was terrified that someone was hiding in that closet. And so at night, if I had to get up, I would slip out of bed, and I would leap past the closet, and then on the way back, I would pause before I got to the closet, and then I'd leap into bed. And that would really irritate my older sister who was trying to sleep. But in my defense, my parents had the fishing resort and the business was attached to the house. And every now and then a person would wander back looking for my mom or dad because they were busy elsewhere. And what was to keep one of those people from coming all the way back to my bedroom and hiding in the closet, ready to snatch me when I got out of bed at night? Darkness conceals. We don't see obstacles in our path in the dark until we trip over them. We can't see a person lurking in the shadows or what monsters might be there, hiding in our closets. We fear the what ifs of what is out there in the dark, the unknown to us. The word John uses for darkness describes a spiritual and moral kind of darkness, something that blocks the light. It's a dark that comes to us when we feel hopeless or abandoned, like my daughter did when I left her in the aisle. I knew this passage, but I never really heard it until I'd gone through a very difficult year, a painful year. My life was about as dark as it's ever been. On that first Sunday morning of the new year, I was kneeling at the altar railing in the church I was a part of and taking communion when the pastor quoted these words of the scripture, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." As far as I could tell back then, darkness was clearly winning. In the midst of a very painful divorce, with all the economic and emotional turmoil that goes with it, our children had been separated, my son had been moved away with their dad to a distant place, I wondered if I would ever see light in my life again. I wondered if these words were true. I hoped they were. Yet in that painful moment, it was hard to believe there was light anywhere, especially when it felt like the darkness was swallowing up what little light there was. In our moments of crisis, it's always tempting to believe that the light has gone out of our world. It's tempting to believe that we will never get through it. We may wonder if the light has gone out completely. We wonder if it's all true, the stuff about Jesus being a light, the real light coming into our world, and if God actually does care about us, if God notices when we are in pain. Barbara Brown Taylor has a book, and in it she reminds us of the gifts of the darkness. And she points out that you do not see stars in the daytime. They are always shining, but we never see the brilliance of a star until night. And so it is with the light of Christ. We can see Christ's light most clearly when we are surrounded in those dark moments of our lives. And we discover as we look and we see where the light is coming from. John continues to tell us in the following chapters that God did not send the light of Jesus into the world to condemn the world, or that we would continue to stumble about in the darkness. But God sends us life-giving, transforming light into our world to give direction to our paths, to remind us that hope exists and exists in the darkest moments that we encounter. It is the light of Christ that gives me hope. If you're on the prayer chain here, some of you are much aware that I have gone through a pretty difficult year with my family. There have been losses, there have been illnesses. But in the midst of this, I have seen Christ's light shining. I see it in the prayers and the concern of people in this congregation. I experienced it in the care and compassion of a previous church, of the people of the previous church. I see it in the community reaching out, and especially as I see people caring for my younger daughter and her family. Christ's light most often comes to us through a person. It comes to us through the care of friends and those other people God puts in your life at those times. That light always makes a difference when we cannot see the way ahead. It changes our view of the world. It shows us the truth. Jesus came as light to tell us about God's love and compassion, about God's mercy, to tell us about God's presence in our world. One of the words for dwell among us literally means to pitch a tent among us. And Jesus came as that one to pitch a tent among us, to experience our life, to know what it is to live as a human being. Several years ago, I mentioned or I told a story at a longest night service here that Rich Barger had written in his book, A New and Right Spirit. He and his family were living in Iran at the time. The revolution had happened while they were there, and on that Christmas Eve in 1978, they had stayed home. There was a mandatory curfew. And so as they stayed home, they were reading scripture around the Christmas tree and singing carols. And then there were the sounds that were coming every night at that point. There was a sound of people on rooftops shouting out, "Death to the Shah! Death to America! God is great!" And there was a deafening rumble of military transports going on the street right beside their house. They would hear the sound of machine gun fire and all of the sounds of violence. "Inside," he said, "my wife and I and a friend were holding our small children close to us. We were singing carols at the top of our lungs to drown out the noise from outside, to keep the mayhem away from our children." As he reflected on that moment in time, he said two stories were being told that night. One was a version of the oldest story, the story of Cain killing his brother Abel, a story that's been reenacted in every age, a tale of the quest for power and the use of force to seize it. It's a story we have never been able to resolve. The second story told that night was a story disclosed in the carols. "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child." And then he said, "Only one of these stories can be true. Only one will have the last word." See, the true story is God's story. It's a story of a light that came into our world to stay living among us. And the darkness has not overcome it, will never overcome it. The story of Isaiah talking about a people who walked in darkness, seeing a great light. The story of Christ who came to penetrate the darkness, that pushes away the shadows, that guides us in the difficult places. A light that builds hope when despair would take over, that gives strength to endure the unendurable. It is a light that shines in every darkness. It breaks into our most crushing moments when life and death hang in the balance. This light will not and cannot be put out. It exists in our darkest moments when we wonder how we will survive, when our hearts are shattered, when we are crushed and our life and death hang in the balance. It's there in our losses and heartache, or it's present when a loved one dies, or when our own death is near. The light of Christ is so powerful that 2,000 years has not diminished its power. However hard the day might be, no matter the harshness, the heartaches, the sorrows, or the burdens, in that light is our promise and is our future. Tomorrow begins a new year. Among our circle of friends might well be those that have great challenges. Others will confront heartache and sorrow. There will be moments of climbing the high mountain and the exhilaration of meeting that moment. There will be times to revel in the accomplishment of a long-sought dream. Along the journey, we may feel battered and worn out, weary and bruised by life. Our families may face upheaval with relationships torn, or our people we trusted in our world failing us. And for sure, of one thing, we will have a turbulent election. Christmases come and go, but the Christ of Christmas is here to stay. The light which is Christ will never go out. Through all these 2,000 years since Christ was born, people have testified to the power of this light, shedding light in our world, a light that does not diminish with the years or shine only for a season, but is with us through every moment in both joy and sorrow. The true story is that Christ came to be with us in our darkness, to be our light, to be our hope, to give us life here and now, to claim us as God's children, and in the darkness, to hold us close, to guide our way. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, we give you thanks that you are with us in those dark moments of our life. We give you thanks for every time your light has penetrated the darkness, when we are afraid or weary or worn. And we give thanks for the knowledge that you will be with us in the new year in whatever challenges we face. We give thanks for the confidence of your presence and your care. And we give thanks that you call us and name us your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.